Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Lentil Health. Tired of your inner critic or all those panicky thoughts wearing you down? Each Wednesday in Lent, we're going to help you fight back against the lies Satan is whispering in your spiritual ear. Give us a call.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today and every Wednesday in Lent, we are continuing our Lentil Health campaign. No, it's not about beans. It's about challenging that inner critic, those thoughts that cause us to panic or feel stuck or hopeless or frustrated. All those thoughts that go through our head that say, you can't do this, or what if that happens, or it's all pointless, or all those other things, you know, that separate you from God, from His love, from His mercy, or from feeling like you can be the person God wants you to be. We tend to think of those thoughts as our inner critic. But in reality, looking at it through a spiritual lens, St. Ignatius of Loyola would tell us that those are actually thoughts that the enemy, Satan, is whispering in our spiritual ear, trying to separate us from God's love, from His mercy, from His grace, from His providence, and from everything that we need to be the person and live the life that God wants us to live. So if you are dealing with that inner critic, if you feel like your thoughts are undermining your peace, if you're getting caught up in a lot of those what-if scenarios, and let's face it, who isn't these days? Or maybe you try to make a change in your life or relationships only to hear that voice inside your head that says, what's the point?
Oh, boy.
It's not going to work anyway.
In your bestie, your voice.
That's right. Let us help you fight back against those lies, the lies that Satan is whispering in your spiritual ear. The number to call? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
As you said, Greg, this is a time where a lot of people are feeling this way. But here's the reason we really need to do this show today. When we go through something life-altering, a death, an illness, something as cataclysmic as what we are all going through together now, there is definitely a period of grief and mourning that has to go on. But then at some point, we need to start coming against those voices in our heads that are really starting to undo us, or making us too shaky to do the things we want to do, or beginning to be pervasive in our minds where we can't really grasp hold of where the blessings are. Because if we don't, two things happen. One, we really do open ourselves wide open for very debilitating depression. The other thing is that we really let Satan win. And when we don't figure out ways to come against those thoughts in our minds and do it consistently, we're really allowing ourselves to lose a battle that we need to be winning for ourselves and for other people. We need to be keeping ourselves centered on God and as sane as we can be in the moment, so that we are here for other people, we are here to be our best selves, we are here to shine the glory of God in a world that's feeling darkness. This is an important battle to take on.
And it is a battle. You know, I mean, look, you know, we are all dealing with an unprecedented crisis, in at least in our lifetimes, right? But this is where the rubber meets the road for people of faith. We can either respond to this crisis the way the world does and allow ourselves to be consumed with anxiety, with frustration, with irritation. We can allow it to separate us from God or the people that we love. We can allow it to cause us to feel like, well, what's the point in working on our stuff because there are so many bigger problems in the world, I just have to, you know, suck it up. We can do all the things that worldly people do, or we can respond to this challenge with grace and say, you know, God is giving me grace to rise to this challenge, to strengthen my relationships with the people in my family, to be more of the person God wants me to be, to reach out compassionately in whatever ways I can to those around me, to overcome that fear or that anxiety that separates me or tries to separate me from God and His grace. What we're suggesting is not easy, and it doesn't come naturally, but it is possible.
Well, and it's not easy, and that's why we at CatholicCounselors.com, when we chose our logo, and if you go to CatholicCounselors.com, you can see what our logo is. It's this sunbeam, and it's Christ helping someone, or Simon of Cyrene helping Christ carry his cross. And we have to remember that even Christ himself had Simon of Cyrene to help him carry his cross. He had Veronica there to wipe his brow. He could have just skipped down the road and overcome his humanness to get to where he had to go. God could have given us salvation any way possible, but he wanted to show us that as humans we need one another, that carrying our crosses in life is difficult, that it's okay to fall sometimes, and it's also important to accept the help of others and for others to be there to help us. And if you're feeling today like you're kind of alone, or you don't want to burden the people you're sharing your home with or your workplace with, if you're still one of those heroes out there who are working in the world, we're here for you. We're here on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We're here to help you get a fresh perspective. We're here to help you come up with real practical ways to come against those thoughts that are disturbing you and getting you down. We're here for you today to pray with you and to listen to what your prayer needs are. All of those things are available to you right now at 877-573-7825. You can give us a call, and we are there to help you today. We're also here to help you help others. So if you're, you know, doing your best to fight the good fight, but perhaps your spouse is really discouraged and you don't know what to do, the kids in your house are kind of losing it or discouraged or asking you questions you don't know how to answer, your relatives who you're trying to Skype or telephone or text every day are just feeling overwhelmed, and you're feeling as a Catholic person that you should be the one to really be able to help, or as their closest loved one, you should be the one to be able to encourage them, and you're not quite sure how. We're here to help you help others as well. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
So whether you are personally struggling with those thoughts that are making it hard for you to be the person that you want to be, feel what you want to feel, live how you want to live, or you're in a relationship with somebody who's really struggling in that way, or you just want some prayer, you know, we are here for you, to support you through this time. 877-573-7825. You know, looking at this whole question or this whole challenge of getting our thought life in order through the lens of the theology of the body, TOB, which, you know, for those of you who don't know, is the legacy of St. John Paul the Great. He passed on this incredible teaching that helps us sort of see the gospel in a new light, in a light that makes it even more relevant for today's world, and in particular for lay people, but that's more than we want to get into right now. But the theology of the body basically gives us a way to see how to apply our faith to every part of our life and relationships.
And when we look at the theology of the body, when we talk about this idea of challenging our thoughts, it reminds us the importance of staying in a place of receptivity as opposed to reactivity. When our spirits are reactive, we tend to feel powerless, isolated, and we don't mean just in our house isolated the way we are now, but isolated from God or isolated from others being able to touch our hearts or ours to theirs. We feel stuck in self-pity, or we begin engaging in unhealthy things that make ourselves, we think, feel better, even when we really don't. But when our spirits are receptive, we remain aware of the problems or the stressors, but we're also aware of the tools and resources God is giving us to solve it. We reach out for support from God and from others, and we try to stay focused on how we can be present in our circumstances, to grow, to become stronger, and to be better people.
You know, the reality is, though, Satan doesn't want us to be receptive. So he's constantly whispering lies into our spiritual ear that try to keep us in a reactive place that Lisa was just talking about. You know, those thoughts that undermine your confidence or make you worry about those what ifs, or make you feel separated from God, from his love or his grace, or for that matter, from the love or support of others, they're not really our thoughts. They're the lies of the enemy that we need to fight against. And yet, that's easier said than done. So we're here to help you do it today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. And let's talk through how to fight back against those thoughts that go through our mind, that rob our peace, steal our connection with God and others, and make it hard for us to be the people that God wants us to be and have the relationships in life God wants us to live. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you all of our thoughts. Your servant St. Paul reminded us that we need to hold every thought captive in obedience to you, and bring even our thoughts and feelings to you, so that you can fill them with your grace, and we can test them through your Holy Spirit. And so we do that right now. We bring our thoughts of frustration and irritation and anxiety. We bring our thoughts of what if and why bother and where is God. And we bring all those thoughts to you and more. And we ask you to fill our minds with the consolations that come from your Holy Spirit. We ask you to fill our hearts with the grace that allows us to feel your presence and know your providence. We ask you to help us to remember at all times to be not reactive, as the enemy wants us to, but receptive to the movement of your Spirit, so that in all things, no matter what problems we're facing, we're able to remember that you are giving us tips and tools and talents to respond to them, that you give us your grace and the support of others to carry us through, and that everything that we face is an opportunity to become the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people that we were created to be in you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
And St. Corona,
pray for us.
St. Corona, of course, is the patroness of those going through pandemic. We have a novena to her on our Facebook page. If you go to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, that's More, the number two, Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa on Facebook, you'll find the novena there. We hope that you'll pray it with us. With that, we are taking your calls right now about dealing with those, that inner critic and those inner thoughts that separate you from peace, from joy, from the confidence that you need to face what you got to face. Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Elizabeth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi there, Elizabeth. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us today?
Hi. First of all, just God bless you, and thank you so much for taking my call. I should preface this by saying that, like, I've always struggled with anxiety at various degrees during all of my life. So, and I wish it was just...
Oops.
You're still there, Elizabeth?
I think we lost her.
Ah, the call just dropped. But I, okay,
Elizabeth, so, if you can hear us, if you're listening on your radio, give us a call back, and if we can get you up right away, we'll take you back so you can fill in the details. But we do have some details that she gave Andrew that are listed
our screener,
on our board.
Yeah. So basically what Elizabeth is saying, that she has a history with anxiety, but right now, especially going through this time, she's attacked at night, essentially. She used the term desolations. And for those of you who don't know, St. Ignatius of Loyola talked about what he called consolations and desolations. Desolations are those thoughts, feelings, impulses. It's basically what we're talking about today, the inner critic, or those thoughts that come into our heads that separate us from God, from our sense of peace and confidence, that separate us from the grace that we need to respond to the challenges in our life. Those thoughts that say, you can't do this, God doesn't love you, you can't be forgiven. It's, you know, all those thoughts, those are not our thoughts. Those are desolations that come from the enemy, according to St. Ignatius, right? The opposite are consolations. Consolations are those thoughts, feelings, impulses, the desires even, that pull us closer to God, that enable us to face those challenges that we face, but face them with confidence and knowing that even though this is hard, we can get through this because of the abilities that God has given us, the support God is giving us directly and through the people around us, and that we can use this as an opportunity to grow and get meaning and strength out of.
So Elizabeth is asking, at night, it seems, as she says, they come so strongly upon her. I think a lot of people experience this, especially people who are suffering with anxiety generally. But even now, I'm even hearing from, you know, the 14-year-olds we know in our life who are saying they're having a hard time sleeping at night. A lot of our daughter's friends are saying over chat, I just couldn't sleep last night. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think we need to realize that, first off, we don't have any distractions in the night. And we're tired. So our normal mental defenses, where we can say, oh, I'm not going to think about that, or I'm going to think of something positive, they shut down, or they're close to shut down.
Well, actually, you know, there are four factors that make us more receptive to desolations, and it goes by the acronym HALT: if we're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired.
Which is pretty much the state of everyone right now. So say those again, because if people are starting, and I think, you know, I appreciate Elizabeth's question about this happening at night, but I think a lot of people are questioning their marriages, their home relationships, and why they're feeling so negative because of these four HALT things. So name them one more time.
Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. HALT. And the more we experience any one of those four things, the more we are receptive, or not so much receptive, but susceptible.
Susceptible, that's a perfect
word.
To
desolations. Those thoughts that go through our head that make us feel separated from God, from the power God gives us to respond to the challenges we have to face in our life and relationships. So, what do you do about that? Well, I mean, you address those things. First of all, make sure that you're eating well. Make sure that you are connecting with people as much as you can. Make sure that you're getting good rest, you know, and taking care of yourself. But beyond that, what I'd like you to do every night is get a notebook, Elizabeth, and I want everybody to do this, okay? Because at night our minds start to ruminate about all the problems. So I want you to refocus. I want you to sit down at night with a notebook, and I want you to write out the little blessings of the day. And I don't want you to just write down the blessings. I want you to actually praise God for each of them. And look, I want you to see every little thing that happens good today as a blessing from God. We have a tendency to write those things off. You know, something good happens. I mean, even if it was a sunny day, even if it was just, I don't know, I got a parking space close to the grocery store, whatever it is. Like, we have a tendency to just say, well, that was nice that happened. No, that was a hug from God, okay? And I want you to see it as that. I want you to see those things as God reaching through all the chaos and all the misery and all the frustrations to say, hey, listen, I am here for you, and I love you, and I'm showing you in these little ways that it's going to be okay. And I want you to write those things down, and I want you to praise him for them. I want you to say, God, I praise you for this little blessing.
Out loud is very helpful.
That's what St. Paul called making a sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice because we don't feel like doing it. We feel like being miserable and complaining to God and saying, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me, save me, save me, deliver me, help me. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that prayer, too, okay? But it doesn't actually help us feel better. If you want to feel better and live in consolation as opposed to desolation, you need to write those things down and make that sacrifice of praise. Incidentally, Elizabeth, we talk about these techniques and many, many others in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And our Sunday Visitor Publications is offering that at a 50% discount for a limited time to give people the resources we all need to fight back against the anxiety we're all feeling. So that's Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. You can get it for 50% off at osv.com. If you also need any more personal support, you can learn more about the telecounseling practice that we offer through CatholicCounselors.com. All of our therapists are working. Social distancing does not mean you have to go it alone. So
they're all
more
faithful Catholics, completely trained counselors, and we've been doing this for many, many years.
Well, 20 years. We've been doing teletherapy for 20 years. So
take advantage of it. We are there and ready to help anyone who needs it.
These suggestions will get you started, but if you need more help, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or our services through CatholicCounselors.com are here for you. Elizabeth, thanks so much for the call. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with those inner voices that separate you from your confidence, from your peace, from God's love and grace and providence. 877-573-7825. We'll be joined also by Tim Muldoon, who is the author of several books with his wife, Sue. In particular, The Ignatian Workout for Lent. He'll be giving us some tips for living in consolation in these desolate times. Stick around for more to life after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the Church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today. Did you miss the open enrollment deadline for 2020? Options are still available. In fact, Pro-Life Catholic Healthcare is just a click away. CMF Curo offers an affordable, community-based, pro-life Catholic healthcare option. If you still need healthcare this year, now is the time to join CMF Curo. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com for affordable healthcare options for Catholic singles and families. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about fighting back against those inner thoughts, those negative thoughts, that inner critic, those lies that Satan essentially whispers in our spiritual ear that separate us from God's grace, His power, His mercy, His love. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Tim Muldoon. He's the author of several books with his wife, Sue. One in particular, The Ignatian Workout for Lent. Tim, welcome to Word of Life.
Great to be back with you guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, we've been talking about this idea of St. Ignatius of Loyola and his consolations and desolations and spiritual discernment. You wanted to share a little bit more about the background for that.
Yeah, that's right. Ignatius himself had thought seriously early in his life about entering a contemplative monastery, and he was drawing from a very ancient tradition of thinking about the way that the enemy proposes these thought. In fact, I want to recommend a book, Christopher Jamison, Finding Happiness. It's a great little summary. Jamison is a Benedictine in England, and he writes about this history of the eight thoughts, and through Catholic math, they become the seven deadly sins, interestingly. But the basic point is that the enemy proposes these ideas, and we're sort of seduced, like, oh, that's right, I'm really not that good, and oh, right, the world is a dangerous place, and oh, right, you know, there are all these things to be afraid of. So the solution, he says, effectively, is to fill our minds with those things, those graces, and to attend, like, Lisa, you were talking about before the break, reminding ourselves that God is always present to us, and really paying mm-hmm. attention to those things, and allowing them to be forefront in our minds, so it pushes away those more negative thoughts.
So by shifting up that focus, how is that different from, say, you know, the practice of positive thinking?
Well, I in fact, do see some overlap. Positive thinking is a cognitive act, and that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, having a good thought. But what we're talking about is a little bit deeper than that. Our cognition is, as it were, at the top of our mind. But our spiritual life is really deep in our flesh and in our bones and in our marrow. And that's a lot more like where love comes from. It's where relationship comes from. And that's when we sink into the presence of God. And obviously practices are good. Prayer is good. You know, devotions of all sorts are good. But the point is that we're not just thinking about God. We're really allowing ourselves to relate on a very deep level, so that it becomes just part of who we are. And
it becomes who we are. I love that phrase. It becomes who we are, which is, of course, echoing Pope John Paul II.
We recognize they're not just our thoughts, but it's really a spiritual battle we're engaged in. Tim, thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to check out your book, I hope they will, The Ignatian Workout for Lent. And folks, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Talk to you when we get back.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Facts for Christianity. When it comes to defending your faith to a friend, family member, or friends on social media who don't find the Bible or the Catechism relevant, how can we effectively present the facts, evidences, reasons, and personal experiences as evidence for Christianity? Here are four criteria that will help you always present a good argument. The evidence you present must be 1. Relevant. 2. Acceptable to your opponent. 3. Sufficient in number, kind, and weight. And 4. Robust enough to counter your opponent's strongest counter-argument. Yes, that will take time, study, and practice. But then as adults, we need to think like adults and not like little children. Be prepared to make a reasoned defense to anyone who asks you for an account of the hope and the facts for Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under Resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Many people say that after baby comes, marital intimacy is over. But that is absolutely not true. You just need to be creative. Greg and I love going out on dates to parks, performances, and restaurants. So after we had our children, we still went out on dates. But we brought the baby along. We sat by an exit, asked for a to-go box with the meal as soon as it came, and brought quiet activities for the baby. We went to a few favorite places repeatedly, and most of all, we went into the date expecting an adventure. While you may occasionally have to leave a restaurant or an event with a fussy baby,
chances are the date will work out just fine, and you can maintain the intimacy with your spouse without sacrificing bonding time with your new baby. Your social life isn't over when a new baby comes. In fact, it's just beginning to get interesting. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak, and that pop-up was obviously recorded before none of us had a social life. But that said, you know, it applies. Creativity is what's going to get our marriages through a lot of this.
That's
it's
right.
Going to, don't just say, I'll see you when this is all over. You know, really work toward, you know, making a specific time, perhaps, where the kids get to watch a video while the two of you sit and have a chat for the day and just catch up and talk to each other. Trying to get the kids on a schedule enough where they go to bed early enough where the two of you still have, you know, energy for a conversation and some adult time that you don't have during the day when the kids are around and you have to watch everything you're saying. So even though we're not able to go out and have the social life talked about in that pop-up, it's just important to apply that, just as important to apply the creativity to
exactly
making
the whole
your
point
marriage
of the tip is really
work.
About being intentional,
yeah,
and being creative to maintain those relationships even in times of social distancing.
That's right.
877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about lental health. This is our every Wednesday in Lent we're talking about lental health. How do we separate ourselves from those thoughts that go through our minds that undermine our peace, that steal our joy, that stop us from feeling effective, that stop us from feeling like we can respond to the challenges, or there's even any point in bothering. This is a time for Christians to stand up and show the world that we do not have to live in fear, that we do not have to live in frustration or irritation, that this is a time for us to draw closer to God and to each other in whatever ways we can, and certainly to lean into our best selves.
But if that's hard for you, know you're not alone. It's hard for every single human being, and it's particularly hard now when we're getting bombarded with all this information, when our lives have changed. That's why we're here for you on More to Life. It doesn't make you a bad Christian, doesn't make you a crummy Catholic, means you're human. And just as Jesus needed Simon of Cyrene to help him carry his cross, he did that to show us that it was okay to be vulnerable, to need help. We're here for you on More to Life. Give us a call today with your questions, your concerns, your needs for prayer, your desires to help other people when you don't know how. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Right now, we're talking with Father Dwight, who's calling from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Father Dwight, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, Greg and Lisa, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Really respect your work and love this show.
Thank you
so
much, Father.
I've been listening to it a lot. And I love your book, Broken Gods. It's,
well, thank you.
In fact, I preached my Advent homily series was all on your book, actually. So,
oh, God bless you. That's so kind of you to say. Honestly, it's my favorite book of all of them, and so that means a lot to hear the feedback from a good pastor like yourself. Thank you
so much for those encouraging words. We all need them these days.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So thank you for them, Father.
So what can we do for you, sir?
Okay, so yeah, I was listening to the show. I think it was from yesterday. There was a caller who was saying they feel abandoned by the priest.
Yes, that was
and,
yesterday.
And the bishops and all that. And I, you know, I was, I have a different perspective on that, obviously.
Yes.
Sure.
Because, like, first of all, I wanted to share that when our bishop told us that we were canceling masses, I didn't think it was actually going to happen, and I actually cried about it. I was so saddened, because I really didn't think we would ever get to that point.
Yeah.
And I'm very technologically challenged, so this whole coronavirus has been forcing me to. I just started a YouTube channel for my parish, which I hate doing. And
what you hate doing?
I hate the social media. I hate being on it. So the things that, so people emailing me about, well, Father so-and-so in New York City is doing this, and Father so-and-so is doing that, and it's like, I feel like saying, I can't do everything that every priest is doing out there. Like, I feel, you know, I can constantly feel like I can't measure up to the people's expectations, and, like, I want to do as much as I can, but there's so much... There's only so much time in a day. There's only so much of me that I can put out there.
The harvest is plenty, right?
Yeah. And it's this coronavirus hasn't made that reality any less as a priest. A parishioner just told me that their mother died and they don't know how they're going to do a funeral for them. And she's in another state right now and all this. So, and another thing I wanted to say in response to that caller yesterday is that the bishops and the priests are terrified of canceling masses particularly because of the financial Armageddon that it seems like it could cause the church. They are terrified of it. There's talks of dioceses of laying off staff. There's a lot of positions right now that are under threat. I mean, I don't even know if my staff will have a job beyond Friday. I mean, there's a lot going on.
I mean, parishes function from week to week a lot of times on those donations, and this is not, the church has not done this lightly, and that's what I tried to point out to the woman yesterday, that you know, this is an act of love, right? That this is the best response we can make to this situation, and it's not something that's just done lightly.
Right, but, Father, right. I think that you're speaking to two things. One, I appreciate so much that you're speaking to the concerns of that caller and the concerns of so many people. But you're also really showing us that so often we treat our clergy and religious as though they, you know, the caller gives them, you know, the cape, as it were.
Yeah.
You know, it's the superpower thing. You have been through seminary, therefore you have the ability to just repel all negative thoughts that Satan brings you and all self-defeating thoughts. And you're saying now you're struggling. You don't feel like you're enough for everybody. You feel like on top of your own thoughts, people are throwing those thoughts upon you. And why can't you do this? And how can you help me with that? And you're really struggling. And I'd like to speak to that for a moment, but I'd also like to ask all of our listeners, if you aren't doing it already, pray for our priests, for our parishes, for our dioceses, for our bishops. This is very much a time where they need all of our prayer, all of our support, and please remember to send your donations to your parish. When this is over, you want it there for you.
And if you're going to email your pastor, email him a message that says, listen, I know this is hard on you too.
In fact, don't even say if. Email your pastor today or send him a card, because they need our support.
Yeah, so the other thing I wanted to just throw out here is that, you know, When people point out to you, you know, oh, well, Father so-and-so is doing this and Father so-and-so is doing that, you know, the beautiful thing about the internet, social media, is that we can all benefit from those things, right? And so it's not that every pastor has to replicate everything that every other pastor is doing. This, you know, this is a whole community that we have. And so being able to make those resources available, somebody points that out to you, say, you know, thanks for letting me know about it. I'm going to put it up on our parish website so people have access to that resource. That's a great thing. You know, so don't feel oppressed by that. You know, I know that people come at you with that accusation, well, how come you're not doing this and how come you're not doing that? But I think you can respond to that by realizing that you don't have to be all things for all people, even though we try to make you into that. And I'm sorry that that's been your experience. I know that's been your experience and the experience of a lot of pastors. And so on behalf of the laity, to the degree that I have the power to do that, I want to apologize to you for that. But I do want to encourage our listeners to, you know, send those cards and send those emails and texts to your pastors and let them know that you're praying for them through this challenging time, because this is hard for them. You know, they don't want to do this. This is their ministry. This is their life. And this is how their
heads
have been tied.
Their vocational
heads
have been
tied. That's so painful. Think about that. If you wanted to help someone that you loved and someone took away all the tools that you had to help your kids or to help your spouse, and you just had to watch them suffer because the most loving thing to do was to step back, how painful would that be for you? That's what all of our pastors are going through right now. That's what our bishops are going through right now. Let's all step out of our own kind of tunnel vision and realize that this is painful. on every side, and let's give support to our bishops and priests too. Father Dwight, I thank you for your courageous ministry. I thank you for taking the time to call in, both with your words of encouragement and with your cry for help. And I want you to know that we're going to add you to our Mortal Life prayer list. We're adding all of the priests and bishops to our prayer lists as well. And if there's anything we can do to support you and your ministry, please don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on the show or any of the resources we have at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks again for those kind words about broken gods. But we have plenty of resources there for pastors as well as lay people. So please do take advantage of all of that if you can.
And again, we have a special ministry specific to priests at CatholicCounselors.com. We work with pastors and priests of every
right.
job.
We offer telespiritual direction as well as telecounseling, and we do have that special outreach.
We're trying to be here as much as we can, but honestly, folks, lift up your priest. Encourage your priest. If you feel right now like, I don't know what to do to help, that's what you can do to help. These men literally are putting their lives on the line in so many ways and dealing with the oppression that comes with, you know, all of this as well. They are human beings. They need your love. They need your support. Our priests have been isolated for too long anyway. They've been doing this job day in and day out, living their vocation with really sometimes nothing more than a handshake at the church door from people and just expected to give and give and give and give and give. And they don't get a lot of socializing with people. They don't get a lot of caring. They don't get a lot of thought. And now more than ever, when they can't give the sacraments, this is so hard on all of them. So please, please lift them up in your prayers. Lift up our bishops in your prayers. Support your church financially. As I said, you want it there. Like, we're all praying for the day we all get to celebrate the Eucharist together again, when Father can hear our confessions again. We need those places to gather. We need those Catholic schools open for our kids when it's time to send them back. Please remember, to the best of your ability, and if that is shortened in some way now, give what you can give, but give your support, give your financial help. Let's remember we need to keep the Catholic Church alive temporally as well as spiritually and do that work.
We're talking today about, we're continuing our Lental health campaign, like mental health only for Lent, right? Every Wednesday in Lent, we're talking about coming against those thoughts, those impulses, those feelings that separate us from God's mercy, from His love, from the grace and providence that we need from God to face the challenges that we encounter in our lives and relationships confidently. If you are struggling with those inner thoughts that are making it hard for you to be the person God wants you to be or live the life God wants you to live, let us help you fight that battle. If you're looking for ways to support someone else who you see is kind of going down for the third time in terms of their anxiety or their frustration or their sadness or all those negative thoughts that are clouding their heads, whether it's your spouse, your kids, someone you care about, let us help you help them. 877-573-7825. We're going to go to break here, but before we do, I want to share our scripture verse of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians 10:5. And this is sort of our theme for our Lentil health campaign.
Right, we've been doing this every Wednesday, so if it sounds familiar, it is part of our Lentil health campaign. We destroy arguments and every pretension raising itself against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ.
You know, conversion doesn't just apply to behavior. It applies to our thoughts and feelings. We can't just bring our behaviors to God and say, Lord, change me or fix this. We have to bring our thoughts and feelings to God too and say, Lord, consecrate my feelings. I consecrate my feelings to you. I consecrate my thoughts to you. Fill my head with those consolations from your Holy Spirit. Fill my heart with those desires and passions that come from you. Let that conversion be what Tim Muldoon was talking about earlier, a deep conversion in the deepest part of your body, your emotions, your thoughts. With that, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about the challenge of fighting that good fight against those desolations that Satan whispers in our spiritual ear, trying to separate us from God's love, power, mercy, grace, and making the changes that we need to make and face the challenges we need to face. 877 573 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back with your questions, comments, and insights on the other side of this break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for March is What is God's Will? A Spiritual Director's Guide to Accompanying Discernment of God's Will. Father Timothy Gallagher helps you learn how to listen for the still small voice of our Lord in this five-part mini-series. Order your DVD set at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Join today's discussion and engage with producers on the Ave Maria Radio Facebook and Twitter accounts at Ave Maria Radio. Respond to interviews and learn who's coming up on Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, and other Ave Maria Radio programs. Make it easier by downloading the Ave Maria app on your smart devices. Then just tap on the Facebook and Twitter icons to get plugged in on the things that matter most. That's the Ave Maria Radio app or at Ave Maria Radio. Build the church. Bless the nations.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA. Or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today, well, about fighting back against those thoughts that separate us from the peace, the joy, the grace that God wants us to live in. Those are called desolations. St. Ignatius of Loyola used that term to talk about the thoughts the enemy whispers in our spiritual ear that undermine our confidence, that steal our peace, that separate us from God's grace, from the support of others. If you are dealing with those thoughts that are causing you to be anxious, frustrated, fed up, and let's face it these days, who isn't dealing with those thoughts? We are all under attack. Let us help you fight back and find the peace, the grace, the joy, and the love that God wants you to live in. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We're talking right now with Barbara, who's listening to EWTN Radio in South Louisiana.
Hi, Barbara, listening on Catholic Community Radio. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, thank you for being there. And I say, Holy Spirit, come.
Amen. So what's up?
One of the tools that I had to use in life, and the one thing is gratitude that God made the world. And I do some simple steps every morning and every night. I go to bed, and I give it to the good Lord, because in the morning I wake up, and I say, good morning, Lord, teach me to pray.
Amen to that.
What are we going to do today? What are we going to do? And then I sit there and meditate, and I don't get up till I get a thought of a message that it's time to go to the bathroom.
I love that, Barbara.
That's great. That's great. And you were saying that as well, and you were telling our screener on the board that at night as well, you really reflect on the Blessed Mother's love for you.
This is something. Thank you so much, Barbara. That Catholics need to re-embrace. We don't generally do what our brothers and sisters of different faiths and different denominations do. We don't generally have our own personal prayer time during the day.
I mean, we are called to.
We're called to. We're supposed to do a morning offering. We're supposed to. There's all of this that's part of our tradition as Catholics. But as Catholics, a lot of us, not all of us, but this is certainly written about in Teresa's book, we just kind of go to Mass on Sundays and we're done. And Barbara is speaking to something we can all begin to do. We're all called to do. God is giving us the time and the motivation, even though we don't like how it's coming at us, to get that time with Him, to start our day with Him, to pause during the day. That's what the Angelus is for, to be with God again, to do some evening prayer, hopefully together as a family, to end our day in prayer. Taking that time to have both the conversations, the personal conversations that we can have with Him where we're just talking with our own words, and also when we feel very burdened and unable to even express our thoughts, the Church gives us the Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, that lifts up all the prayers of our hearts that we can't put into words and gives us the words to take our prayers and our thoughts to Christ. Barbara, thank you for reminding your fellow listeners that we can do this if we bring God into it.
877-573-7825. We're talking about fighting back against those thoughts that that seek to separate us from God's grace, His our confidence, His love, mercy, power. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Steve, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Steve, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for the show. My question is that what to do when those negative thoughts seem correct?
Yeah.
You know, if you have committed a serious sin, mm-hmm. made a serious mistake, had serious operational flaws in your thinking over a period of time, you know, those thoughts can come down hard.
Yep, yep.
And they seem correct. You know, yeah, I am that. I did do this.
Sure.
I did really screw up.
Yep.
So how do you combat against that?
Okay, no, that's a great question.
It's a fantastic question.
Thank you. And that's the best and most common objection to this whole idea of living in consolation. So here's the thing. That's why when I asked Tim earlier about positive thinking, this is sort of where I was trying to go with it. Because a lot of times, you know, when we think about consolations, we think we should tell ourselves, well, gosh darn it, you know, in spite of everything I've done,
I'm
good enough,
yeah.
and I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. And that's not what this is, okay? Consolation allows you to face reality. It can allow you to say, boy, I screwed this up, okay? But here is God's mercy, and here is the way that God is calling me to heal and to grow and to change. A consolation doesn't always feel good. I mean, for example, a consolation could be guilt, because if that guilt motivates us to repair the damage that we've done and embrace conversion, because that pulls us closer to God and it leads us to live the life that God wants us to live. Guilt, however, can also be a desolation if it just makes us ruminate about the bad thing we did and feel separated from God's mercy and love from any possibility of conversion. So there's nothing wrong with you acknowledging that you've messed up. There's nothing wrong with any of us acknowledging that we've screwed up in some way, and that we, you know, we've made mistakes or we've committed sins or you know, hurt somebody in some way. As long as we can then look at that and say, so now what does God want me to do with that? Because a consolation, if guilt is a consolation that comes to us from the Holy Spirit doesn't cause us or allow us to dwell in that conviction. We experience that conviction, but it's immediately followed by, and here's what I want you to do. It's a conviction with a call to conversion.
And right now, as we can't get to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, Pope Francis has let us, you can look it up on YouTube, in a beautiful prayer to be able to take all of our sins to God Himself and ask for that forgiveness and absolution. And then when it's done, we can go and make a full confession with a priest. But it counts. He's letting us know we can lay it at the feet of the Lord and then begin to work toward behaving and thinking properly.
And Steve, if you were listening earlier, Father Dwight called in and he said that he recommended my book, Broken Gods. And that book actually talks about how to do exactly what we're talking about, where you feel that sense of guilt, okay? And instead of ruminating about what you did, you give it to God. And you say, Lord, I've made these mistakes. I've made these errors. I've screwed up in these ways. But I'm giving them to you, and I'm asking you to show me how to respond to them in a way that gives you glory. How can I learn from these things? How can I heal from these things? How can I respond to other people in ways that allows those injuries I've committed to create healing, okay, and be an instrument of grace? God doesn't want any part of your life to go to waste. Even the sins that we've committed, God wants to use for his glory. Don't dwell in the misery and the shame and the guilt of it. Bring that guilt to God and say, help me know how to respond to this in a way that glorifies you and lets me live as your son so I can know your joy.
And ask St. Peter to pray for you and meditate on the fact that God used the sins of St. Peter for great glory and built the church on him.
Again, Steve, we got to go, but the book Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, I think would be a great way to follow up on this call, and I encourage you to pick it up for Lent and go through that, because I think it's going to really help you receive God's forgiveness in a deeper way. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in and sharing your questions and stories with us. Check out all the resources we have for you, including the resources we mentioned, like Broken Gods, at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice. Social distancing doesn't mean you have to go it alone.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.